On behalf of the bishops, priests, sisters, brothers, and seminarians, I want to wish all of you a most happy and blessed Christmas. And now the epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoken times past to the fathers by the prophets, last of all in these days hath spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the figure of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, making purgation of sins, sitteth on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels hath he said at any time, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God adore him. And to the angels indeed, he saith, He that maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of justice is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved justice, and hatest iniquity. Therefore God, Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. And Thou in the beginning, O Lord, didst found the earth, and the works of Thy hands are the heavens. They shall perish, but Thou shalt continue, and they shall all grow old as a garment, and as a vesture shalt Thou change them, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the selfsame, and Thy years shall not fail. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was made nothing that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to give testimony of the light, that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but was to give testimony of the light. That was the true light, which enlighteneth every man that cometh into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to be made the sons of God, to them that believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. For this day is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Words taken from the Gospel of Midnight Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear faithful, I am going to prove that I am Irish, because though it is Christmas, I'm going to tell you a story about St. Patrick, a Christmas story. St. Patrick is, of course, famous for being the Apostle of Ireland, but he wasn't actually born there. According to most accounts, he was born in England instead. As a boy, he was captured by Irish marauders who brought him to Ireland as a slave. He then escaped with divine help and fled back to his homeland of England. Arriving home, he almost immediately decided to be a monk. And not just a monk, but he decided to be a great one, to be a saint. And so, Patrick left England to go to France to live under Saint Martin of Tours, who was already renowned for his sanctity. Now, we do not know exactly what time of year he left England, but we do know that St. Patrick arrived near the monastery of St. Martin of Tours right around Christmas time. And it was night when St. Patrick arrived near the monastery. The River Loire lay between him and it. No doubt St. Patrick was tired from his day's travels through the snowy forest and freezing wind. And thus he lay down for the night right in the snow under one of the trees on the banks of the river. He chose this tree, which happened to be a plum tree, because it was more of a low bush. He found a spot where he could rest his back, with the branches spread out around him on each side. The tree's limbs thus offered some modicum of protection from the wind and the snow. But of course, this tree was not an evergreen, and thus, just like all the trees around it, it was completely barren of leaves and, of course, of flowers. But once St. Patrick laid down to rest under the tree shook the snow from its branches onto the ground away from the saint. Buds then miraculously shot forth, and in a short time grew into leaves. The tree even blossomed. White flowers replaced the snow that had just covered the tree. The leaves thus formed a sort of cave around St. Patrick, blocking the blast of wintry wind and snow, while St. Patrick slept on that cold night. The next day, St. Patrick finished his journey to the monastery, and he began his preparation for the great task that lay ahead of him. After many years, he received the call from God to convert Ireland from paganism to the one true God. Now, though St. Patrick left France for Ireland, God saw fit to leave a memorial of St. Patrick's visit. For from that day until the tree itself was destroyed in the late 19th century, God renewed that same miracle. For every year, from December 25th to January 1st, that one particular tree that sheltered St. Patrick bloomed in the same way. It didn't matter how cold the weather, how heavy the snows, how deep the frost. That same tree that St. Patrick laid his head under always had leaves and flowers for Christmas. Some even tried taking clippings of this tree and planting them in other places. But though, of course, the tree would grow there, none of them ever budded or flowered during winter like that one tree. In this story, my dear faithful, we see the tender care and concern God had for St. Patrick, and that care and concern, that fatherly love, extends to all mankind. For on that first Christmas night, that winter night over 2,000 years ago, God gave to men a light in the darkness, the light of the world, a fire, the divine fire of the Sacred Heart, to enkindle the world and drive away the cold of sin, and a Savior to free us from that sin. For 4,000 years, mankind had waited for the Savior. They had longed for him to come, for sin held such sway over them. It was as if they dwelt in a perpetual winter, for the fire of the love of God was so difficult to keep. It was so easily extinguished from their hearts. So quickly would they fall from grace and turn their hearts cold with indifference to the one true God. But then, one night, men heard an angel. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The angels announced the birth of the Messiah, and peace filled the hearts of all those who heard it. This is the greatest miracle ever worked, that the infinite God should become a man. As Isaiah put it, God let the earth be opened and bud forth a Savior. And he did this. The Son of God became man to save mankind from the winter of sin. It is almost beyond comprehension what happened that Christmas night when Christ became incarnate. The infinite God became physically present upon earth. And again, for the past 2,000 years, he has repeated this miracle over and over on our altar. The same miracle on the first Christmas happens every day on the altar at the consecration, for Christ is born again, so to speak. Our Lord comes to us, body and blood, soul and divinity, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He even condescends to come down from the altar to each of us, in particular in Holy Communion. And just like that first Christmas, he has the appearance of such weakness. The Almighty Infinite God hides himself under the appearances of a little wafer of bread, even more helpless than an infant. He hides his might, his power, his infinite majesty, so that we will not be afraid to approach him. Just as when he came to earth, he came as a little babe, not a great and mighty king, so that we would love this little infant. When we receive Holy Communion, we physically receive that little host, the little Christ child, into our hearts. We shelter him there. We give him a home. And how our Lord longs to come to us, to warm himself with the fire of our own love for God. If we could see him in the host, we would see him reach his arms out to us to find someone who will hold him lovingly in their heart. And how cold the world is to him, especially today when so few love him or even believe in him. How few there are to give our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament the loving embrace for which he longs. And how rich the rewards this divine guest wants to give to us. By Holy Communion, the infinite God unites himself with us in order, again, to be our Savior, to save us from the cold of sin. For at that moment, he floods our souls with the grace and strength we need to live our lives worthily for him, to earn our place in heaven. After the Mass, Holy Communion is the greatest source of grace to mankind, for again, it is God himself, the source of all grace, whom we receive as our guest. And so, my dear faithful, use your Holy Communions well this Christmas and throughout your life. Remember, when you receive the Blessed Sacrament, who it is that takes his place in your heart, that you are holding our Lord as if our Blessed Mother placed her newborn son into your arms. How lovingly, how tenderly would you hold him if Our Lady handed her child into your arms? How you would cherish that moment. And so, too, you should cherish every moment you have our Lord sacramentally present within you. Make every effort to make the most of those brief moments. Focus your mind and heart on our Savior. Imagine the Christ child there and speak to him. Give him your love and adoration. Thank him for coming to you. And be sure to ask him for something. For he loves to be asked. He loves to give a gift to us. Especially, he loves to be asked to be your Savior, to give you the graces you need to overcome sin and fulfill the duties of your life. Do not let these precious moments be wasted by willful distractions. Do not turn your mind from the Christ child you hold in your heart. Do not ignore him. And show him the cold indifference that covers our world today. Instead, welcome him, shelter him by your attention and your devotion. Especially, I encourage you do ask the Blessed Mother to help you. Beg her to give you that same love and ardor with which she received her divine Son. My dear faithful, living in this anti-Christian world, where it can be so difficult to lead a Christian life, be comforted, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, for this day is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Be not troubled by the world, for remember that as God Almighty has done so much for you, so much so that he has even become man for you. He will take care of you and shelter you in this life and bring you unto everlasting life if only you turn to him. When he comes to you in Holy Communion, shelter our loving God, love our sweet Savior, and ask of him his saving grace. May God bless you, and may you have a happy and most blessed Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.